Thank you, Jeremiah. So with that, I'd like to to call the meeting to order and request for someone to make a motion to approve the agenda.
I motion to approve the agenda, Denise.
Thank you, Denise. May I have someone second?
I will second, Betsy.
Thank you. And roll call, Gretchen.
Here.
So just approval of the agenda, Gretchen.
Oh,
thank you.
Sorry, you're right. It's not attendance. No, thank you, Bernaz.
Thank you. Denise?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Betsy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thank you. I want to just take a moment to thank all of the board members who are here and all the prospective board members who are here. We're so grateful for your presence. I know this is a very busy time of the year, so thank you. The agenda says that first we're going to ask for any presentations from the floor for non-agenda items. This is a Brown Act requirement. Are there any presentations from the floor for agenda items? Okay. Since there are no presentations, we're going to go ahead and jump straight into, I'm going to start the leadership update for a moment before we do the opener. This is an important board meeting because we have three new prospective board members joining us, and I want to take a minute to ask them to introduce themselves first before we jump right into the opener so that they know who they're meeting. So with that, I'm going to bug Herb to go first, please.
Not a problem whatsoever. Good evening, everyone. My name is Herb Sims. I'm the Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Northrop Grumman, located here in the South Bay area, right in Redondo Beach. I will tell you this, this couldn't be better timing for me in my life at this point, at this junction, but I will tell you, Denise is responsible for me coming to the table, and this has been in the works for over 3 years, believe it or not. So she approached me about 3 years ago, and I said, Denise, I will come. It's just a matter of timing because I do travel a lot with my job, but I'm grateful that she did extend the invite. I hope it's not too much background noise, but because we're at a year-end event, so I had to sneak out to come and join you all to be a part of the meeting. But nevertheless, I'm happy and excited to be here. Look forward to working with you if I do become a board member and giving and learn and lending my talents to help drive and move us forward in the right direction. I bring an engineering background to the table, although I'm working in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. I've worked in manufacturing, engineering, operations, so I do have an extensive background. I think we can leverage some of that to help with initiatives and programs we want to roll out, but additionally have some networks and contact that can be viable resources to ECS.
Thank you, Herb. Thank you so much. Mason, you're up next. Can you please introduce yourself?
Of course. Well, thank you, everyone, for having me. My name is Mason Williams. I lead global DEI for Mattel, the toy company. I was brought into this meeting and been introduced to the organization through my friend over here, Michael Martucci, and I really appreciate that. It's an honor to be here. And like Herb said, this is an important time in my life for this as well. I stand by the values by which, you know, that the organization has, and I had a great conversation with Farnaz. It was a no-brainer right out the gate, and some an extreme honor. My background is in toy design. I'm not a DEI specialist by nature. I was a toy designer, but the idea of designing toys is that you design toys to make the world better for everyone, not just a certain group of people. So that's always been the mission. And I continue to do that in my current role. We're also, Mattel's located in El Segundo, and I'm really interested in the fact that I also am one of our leaders in the CSR, right, in our corporate responsibility. So I work closely with our sustainability teams and our across our product lines as well. So anything that I can do to be a resource, I'm here to do. I stand by the mission that you all have. And it's even, I knew something was even more fortuitous when I saw that Herb was joining, because Herb and I met each other back in the summer at a conference, and all of a sudden we're talking, and the next thing you know, we're on the same board. So you know, either the universe must be saying something. So I'll take that with a moment of pride. And so thank you for having me. I can't wait to learn and contribute in any way that I can. So I appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much, Mason. And Andrew, could you please introduce yourself as well?
Sure. Thank you. So Andrew, in my day job, I work at a firm that invests in energy projects, and I lead the team that's responsible for our investments in renewable energy in the Americas. In terms of family, we've got three little ones at home. My folks and family are from Peru originally, and we are feels like new to LA, just given that we moved in 2018 and COVID came on shortly thereafter. And so we've sort of been at home most of that time, but came to LA in 2018 from DC. I come to this having spent a bunch of time in charterland in DC. I had the very good fortune of being lucky and really falling in just with good fortune and almost accidentally into joining the board of a school called DC Scholars, which was a 550 student pre-K through 8 charter school in Ward 7 of Washington, D.C. Being a finance backgrounded person, I became the treasurer. And so I was with Scholars for about 6 years, and I was treasurer for about 4 of those, and was pleased to be able to bring my sort of day-to-day skills to bear for the school and really try and do two things at once. One was simultaneously put the school on solid financial footing and ensure that that was not a worry for the team, and simultaneously give the administration and the leaders and the teachers what they needed to deliver the program. And we had good fortune in being able to do that. So my tenure with DC Scholars ended just this past September, and in conjunction with having moved to LA and sort of finally emerging from COVID, I have wanted to find my way into something equally rewarding and engrossing here locally, and had the good fortune of getting to meet Farnaz through an old friend from school, have been really blown away by what I've learned in terms of what you guys are doing, and super interested in seeing if I can't lend a hand. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much. I think it goes without saying that we are extremely fortunate to have this amazing group of leaders who want to join our board of directors. I want to thank Denise for her participation in that, and Michael Martucci. I also want to thank my brother-in-law for introducing Andrew. It's a small world and I appreciate it. With that, I want to open up for what we're going to do is jump into our opener, which is going to be speed dating. So I'm going to put you in a breakout group with one other human being, and I want you to take a minute to get to know them, introduce yourself, talk about your connection to ECS. And then the first question is, what did you want to be when you were little? So I'm going to open the first. So think about that question, and then we'll jump into second and third breakout rooms, just 1 to 2 minutes each. And I want you to get a chance to know each other. So. Is everyone ready and clear on what they're doing? Excellent. So I'm going to go ahead and create the first breakout session.
Well, Kennedy. I know. Yeah. No, you know what? I've been really wondering what's been going on. You know, like, I haven't had a chance to catch up in a few months. And yeah, how's it going for you?
Hi there. Hello.
Wow. Wow. Sounds very challenging.
Hello.
That's part of the alert, isn't it?
Andrew, you came right back.
I didn't mean to, Michael. Hey, I was trying to close the thing and you were sorry.
No worries, Andrew. Pleasure to chat.
Everyone else will be here in 20 seconds too. And we'll go for another round of speed dating. Dave, I'm glad you could join us. And Lorita, I don't know who you are, but welcome to our board meeting. And we are currently in the process of having an opportunity to meet each other for the next two more minutes. Lorita, are you a parent or?
And I currently serve on school.
No, you know what? I had you. ECS is an environmental charter school here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
I thought you were at our meeting here.
Okay, we're at
environmental. And I saw the faces and I said, I don't recognize any of these people. I was like, wait a minute.
Okay.
My fault.
No problem. Have a wonderful night.
I will, you too. Thank you.
So thank you all so much for participating in the first round of speed dating. The second round of speed dating, just one more round we have time for. If you could please introduce yourself, talk about your role, and then also just share something in your day-to-day life that truly gives you joy. Something in your day-to-day life that truly gives you joy. And I'm going to go ahead and recreate rooms and open them. Any questions before we part?
No.
Stay until you're forced out of your room. You don't need to jump out.
What a coincidence.
No way. You guys got each other twice?
No. Just, we've been talking.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And at the well, Tamina, I think what really there's being cool joy is I feel like these days it's like knowing that I had an impact on somebody's life, you know, and in a positive way, and just like, you know, even if it's not like a whole group of people, but just one at a time, you know, and just like, oh man, you know, I did help, and their life is going better now in some way, you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know if that's getting me closer to parenting or something. I feel like I haven't had that before. Yeah. No, because in the old days, it's all about, you know, personal achievements and things like that. What about you, Gina?
No, we didn't
do that.
I
being a go-to person, being that, yeah, that's pretty cool. How are you doing otherwise? Yeah. The next steps, yeah, and travel. Do you think he's going away for college or no?
No.
Well, that's good.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much for participating in these openers. So as some of you know, our board process is that board members need to come to one board meeting before they can be elected onto our board. So at our next board meeting, we're looking forward to voting these three wonderful humans onto our board, and we'll look forward to that next step with you all. Sometimes at our board meeting, we have the great pleasure of having our principals present and share what's going on campuses. Today, you guys get a leadership update from both Danielle and I. We just wanted to bring you into sort of the big picture of the organization. I want to take a minute to shout out the person who is going to be listening to this board meeting. Some of you may know this, that our authorizing partner at Los Angeles County Office of Education, Duncan McCullough, listens to every single one of these board meetings and gives us constructive feedback and helps us to be better. I wanted to thank him this last couple of weeks. He's gone to every single one of our schools. He's gone on classroom visits with Danielle and the principals and has continued to provide really wonderful support and feedback to us. And we're really grateful to have Duncan as our partner. I also want to do an appreciation for the board members who are going to be sitting in on a last minute ad hoc conversation about our Western Association of Schools and Colleges, or WASC, accreditation process for ECHS Gardena. We asked you within a day to get this on your calendar, and you all agreed and were supportive. So thank you to Anthony Joeed and Betsy Hamilton. And if one additional board member I asked can join us, great. But if not, two is what they required. And thank you for making that happen. I also wanted to do a big appreciation, both of these human beings, these beautiful human beings you see on this slide, but also of this moment in education that at this time, due to post-COVID funding, both state and federal, there's all sorts of different streams. They're called Expanded Learning Opportunities Program and ESSER and GESSER and all of these funding streams. We've been able to strengthen our home office team that delivers specialized services and supports to all of the school sites. It started off with Charity Rock, who is our secondary math specialist. She's been here the longest, I think going on 3 years now. Then we were, you know, super grateful to have Jane Weiss, who was a vice principal at our high school in Lawndale, join as the English language arts specialists. And this last year, Cesar Delgado has joined, who grew up in our organization. He started off as an assistant and then became a counselor. And he's got his social work degree, and he now leads a team of social workers at ECS who've had such a profound impact on our ability to serve the needs of our students in order to be able to meet attendance. And this beautiful human being, Tashonda Giles-Jones, just had a TED Talk that some of you got to hear. She's a force of light and goodness, and you may have seen her teaching an environmental education class at Inglewood for many years. And now we have the great benefit of being able to fund her role as a leader of this program, strengthening environmental education at all of our sites. So I just wanted to both appreciate these human beings and the opportunity to have these roles that are having such a strengthening impact at our schools. Those are our great strengths at this moment. I wanted to bring you also into some of the challenges that we're facing. So those of you in education know that at this moment, there is a what one of our principals calls a teacher shortage crisis. And it's very palpable. We struggle to have the teachers with the right credentials in their roles. So what you see on our strategic priorities benchmark chart that tries to hold us accountable to meeting all the credentialing requirements, LACO really holds us to that. Lawndale requires us to meet those requirements as well. It's a state and federal requirement in many instances. This year has been especially difficult, not just for us, but for all schools. And we're going to talk about some steps that we're taking to address this, but this has been our biggest challenge. We have 6 open positions right now. Special education hiring continues to be our biggest challenge. And then in light of that, if it's so hard to recruit good people with the appropriate credentials, how do you hold people accountable in a moment like this? How do you nudge them to be more effective and better when you know that they could just say, you know what, this is too much for me. You've pushed me a little too far. I don't want to stick around for this. And then you're out a credentialed teacher that's both helping you to meet a requirement, but also supporting the kids. So that's kind of the struggle that we're dealing both with the shortage and with the urgency of the work that we're doing. We've seen a slight decline in attendance. So in our budgets, you will see that in future meetings when we have larger dips into our budget conversations. We have been really proud of the fact that we sustain 97% attendance, sometimes go above that on a regular basis at all of our campuses. This year, it's not been that easy. And I can attest to that as a parent. Every time my kid is ever so slightly sick, I'm like, sorry, you can't go to school because your teachers are going to get, it might be COVID and like all of that. We all are feeling it as parents. And that's what our parents are feeling as well. So many flus, so many viruses going around at the same time. Some of it is COVID. There has been an uptick in COVID. And so as a result, kids are staying home. And our attendance is down. It's hovering at around 94-95% right now. And you might think, oh, 94-95%, that's not so far off 97%. But unfortunately, it does have a significant impact on our budget. It has an impact on student learning. The approximate amount of revenue we receive for ADA per student is about $55 per day. And so if you estimate that out, this could have like $100,000 impact per site, which is significant. And it's something that we're doing our best to get on top of. How do we encourage them to come to school, but don't come to school if you're sick? Like it's a, we're trying to talk out of both sides of our mouth at the same time. And then also like, as all schools, secondary schools in particular, vaping and behavioral interventions are up and we're navigating that time. One of the things that we're talking about with all of our paraprofessionals right now is our teacher pipeline. So we're really hoping to get our paraprofessionals to consider careers in education. And this slide has actually been really helpful for us because at the same time, as we're having a teacher shortage, teachers can get, paraprofessionals can get more working at a Chipotle than they can working at as a paraprofessional at ECS in some instances. And so we need to help them to understand that this is not just a job that you have for 2 years and like that sticks at this level, but that this is a pipeline and that you can get a certificated teaching, you could be in a certificated teaching position that's a lot more sustainable in life and has a pension and is, so this slide has actually been really productive. We've been having conversations with our paraprofessionals and that's one pathway we're pursuing to address our biggest challenge, which is teaching. We also have a partnership with Rivet. So if a paraprofessional doesn't have a BA, but is a few semesters short, we have this partnership that can help them get their BA in 2 to 3 years. We can fund a portion of it if necessary, and then get them into a teacher credential program like our Alder partnership. This one's a really hard one for most people to be able to do because it almost means that they have to forego their income for a whole year, which is hard. Basically, the way it works is that we would give them a stipend for 25,000 dollars. It's like required for it to be a baseline amount. We can't change how much we pay them to be an Alder Fellow at our school. They would come and get trained on our campus while delivering supports to our students, but they would have to pay for the program. But at the end of 1 year, they would have a master's degree and a teaching credential, and they would have a much more sustainable career in life. So this is something that we're working on as well to try to recruit. I can't have a board meeting without making an ask to you. Danielle and I were sort of dreaming about, like, what could our board members help us with at this moment, given that we do have this staffing shortage. And one thing is that we're thinking about one additional board member, if we can recruit someone who sits in a leadership role at a school of education and can help us, like, gain access to candidates at a much more rapid pace. If you know someone wonderful who might be a good addition, that's one gap I think we still have on our board. If you would be willing to share these positions with your networks, if you have educators in your networks, if you want to encourage some young, awesome, inspiring people in your life to pursue teaching credentials and they want to come here as paraprofessionals and we can hold their hands, like, let's think through those kinds of opportunities together too. And then if you have, like, some strategies that you're using in your industry that we should be thinking about that we're not talking about, we welcome any guidance you guys have on that realm. So with that, I'm going to hand off to Danielle to talk about our priority.
Okay, how long do I have, Farnaz?
Take your time.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Happy December holiday season. Nice to see you. And for those of you who I don't know, my name is Danielle Kelsick. I'm Chief Academic Officer for ECS. And Farnaz asked me to talk a little bit about our academic priority for the year, which as an organization, we adopt every year and sort of and agree this is the, you know, we call from four disciplines of execution the wildly important goal, the one thing that if we win on, it will make a huge difference in helping us achieve our mission. This year, we landed on planning for critical thinking, and we call it PCT because if you know ACS, we love an acronym. And this slide really is trying to capture the vision of the rationale and the vision for setting this as our organizational priority. We have this mission that we repeat at the beginning of these board meetings, and it's really important and central to why we all work here. And the dream is by the time kids graduate from college, we want them to be able to change the world, to make it more just and more sustainable. In order to do that, they need to be able to feel empowered to do the things that are on this slide, to make connections, ask questions, interpret data, test hypotheses, tackle complex tasks, but to do it without a roadmap, without a set of step-by-step instructions. And that's probably the most critical part of this sentence here, because we're preparing our kids to be able to change the world that is changing as we speak and different than it was, you know, 4 years ago in a significant way. So how do we prepare them to be able to do that? Well, we prepare them to be able to think critically and to solve problems that have not yet been solved, and to come up with pathways to achieve things and innovation in ways that, you know, we haven't solved ourselves and their teachers don't necessarily know. And what we have talked about, if you go back one step for us, what we talked about is that to do that, we want to strengthen critical thinking, to make it central and inescapable in an ECS class. We've agreed that teachers must routinely focus on the student-facing task as the centerpiece of their lesson planning. That's new and that's different for ECS teachers. They are used to doing lesson plans, but are they used to actually doing the thing that they're going to ask kids to do and using their experience of reading the text or solving the problem or analyzing the quote to actually say, if I want them to do that, then I have to change the way I've asked this question, or I need to give them time to process before they go talk about that with a partner. So that's the thing that we've asked teachers to do, and that's new and that's different. But honestly, if we want to be able to support critical thinking, teachers have to think through not only what they're going to do in a lesson sequence, but how to make sure that they're not doing all the thinking for students, right? That they are making space for kids to grapple with something challenging and to achieve the learning objective with supports, but where the teacher's not doing all the thinking and the heavy lifting for them. That's what we've found over the years when we go into classrooms and we have people come observe us. That's the most common piece of feedback we get. ECS is a warm and loving place where kids can grow and develop and feel nurtured, but teachers are doing too much of the thinking for them. So this priority is trying to address that observation and that finding that we've had over and over again. Okay, now I can change it. Thank you. So this is the protocol that we came up with, the leadership team and the planning for critical thinking leads that I work with. And if you just kind of look at the numbers, you don't have to read all of the stuff, but you know, there's this step zero, which is prepare for daily lesson planning. There's some background work that you have to do if you're going to do this planning for critical thinking and do it well. Then step one is the one I just talked about, unpacking the task that you're asking students to do, first by reading the directions, then by actually doing it, then as teacher, reflect on your process and anticipate the student experience. And then step two is the thing that's more familiar to our teachers, and I think to teachers in general, is now design the learning experience, plan the lesson, strategize how you want to group students and where you're going to check for understanding. So here's how it's going. I showed you the graph on the right, I think maybe the last time I talked to you, but now we've had a lot more weeks of instruction since then. So I wanted to show you the progress we made. So on the right-hand side, probably should have swapped the order. Sorry about that. On the right-hand side is quarter one. So you see starting the week of August 22nd, all the way to the end of quarter one. And this graph and both of them are tracking those steps one and two that I just showed you on the last slide. So the blue is how often are teachers planning their lesson, or this is tracking whether they have completed a lesson plan on a weekly basis, right? That's the blue bar. And what you can see is in quarter one, we had an average of 60% of teachers were doing that on a weekly basis. The red line is what percentage of those teachers are unpacking a student task, that new thing that I was telling you about that we think is the lever to support student critical thinking on a daily basis. And 34% of our teachers were doing that in quarter one. And if you look over on the left-hand side of the slide here, we've seen dramatic growth over the course of the last 8 weeks of instruction. Up to 85% of our teachers are planning that lesson plan on a weekly basis and sharing it with us so we can look at it. And then up to 50% of our teachers are doing that new thing, the hard thing, the unpacking the test, which is really exciting and bodes well for semester two. And the other cool stuff is that while they're doing this thing, it's hard and it takes up a lot of time and it's new. And you know, if you're leaders in your industry, change is hard and people don't necessarily embrace it. What we found when we last surveyed teachers at the beginning of October is that they think this is the right priority. They think it will support the learning of English learners, students with exceptionalities, Black and African American students, our special sub groups who we pay attention to on a regular basis. They think that the time that they're spending in PD is supporting their development of this new skill, and they see the connection between daily lesson planning and critical thinking. And these graphs is maybe not that easy to read, but take my word for it that this is, of all the priorities we've done as an organization, this is the highest level of staff enthusiasm for the organizational priority. They think this is the right thing to be doing. And I think that connects back to that last slide. That's why with the right supports, I think we're seeing the level of growth and commitment to do the work by teachers on a weekly basis. And the last slide, I think, is what students say. So we surveyed students, I think, also around the same time as that staff survey. And this is what our students are saying. 60% of them say that their classwork at ECS is preparing them for the future. And you'll notice the numbers are all similar, 60 to 63%. So 61% say they are asked to practice independent critical thinking in all of their classes. And then 63% say most or all of their classes require critical thinking daily. So although in the last slide or the last couple of slides, you see we're moving things forward and staff agrees that this is what matters most, we don't yet have a critical mass, or not enough of a critical mass, if you ask me, of our students agreeing that the work that's being put in front of them is preparing them for their future, and is really requiring them to engage in independent critical thinking on a daily basis. So we still have some ways to go. Maybe we need to define critical thinking better for our students. Maybe we just need to do it more consistently. We're measuring it on a weekly basis. These questions are about on a daily basis. Maybe that's where the tweak and the refinement comes in. But that's a little nutshell of our priority this year. And it's exciting. I think it's something that we're not gonna put all this investment in and then next year be like, okay, done with critical thinking. You know, it's central to our mission. We're gonna keep, I think this is a priority that will be a priority for years to come.
Thank you, Danielle. I also wanted to touch on the stuff that we were our priorities in prior years, and where do they live now, and how are we addressing them? So in the language that we've spoken, both through the four disciplines of execution, but also in our participation in the accelerator program, there's the number one priority. There's the thing that everybody has to focus on, that requires all of our attention. That's what Danielle talked about. That's our planning for critical thinking goal. Then there's the minor builds, the things that are the continued work that are led by a smaller group of people. And that doesn't mean that they're minor in terms of importance, but they're minor in that they don't engage every single human being, and they shouldn't take a majority of our time. So the work that we started as a priority in prior years, which was continuing to confront anti-Blackness and racism, in this school year is a minor build because it's engaging a smaller population of people. But I wanted to share with you what's really exciting is that we just had a second session of professional development with Candace Watson and Tiffany Marie. This board has engaged with them before. For our new board, incoming board members and new board members, hopefully we'll have opportunities for you to engage with them as well. They just did their second session, and 92%, so about 110 staff members are participating in that, because anyone who started after April 2021, when we had completed the first round of engagement with them, is now required to participate in this. So about 100 staff members are participating in it, and 92% of them said that they agree or strongly agree with the statement that today's PD time will be helpful to me as an ECS faculty member. So it's very exciting that that work is continuing and continuing to have an impact on. It's not practical work. It doesn't tell us how to do education better for our Black students, but it makes us conscious of this issue and keeps it in the forefront of our mind so that we can shift our practice on a regular basis and continue to have these conversations. In addition to that, the wonderful Lacey Harris, who is the Assistant Principal of Culture at ECHS Gardena, has been continuing to lead our effort to strengthen the advisory program to reinforce the tenet, every child is a blessing. And we continue to survey our students on how they feel about our teachers and our campuses and the advisory program. And if you wanted to click on our strategic priorities benchmark chart, all of this data, both about our priority and our minor builds, is continuing to be captured there. But this is pretty exciting news when you look at this. Our students reported that 72% feel respected by their advisory members. 75% have a strong sense of community and belonging. 80% in their advisories, they have a voice in the activities they do. So we're continuing to see growth in our advisory program, and this continues to be not the priority for our organization, but something that we're very much caring about and continuing to focus on. So with that, I just wanted to open up for any questions that you have for either Danielle or myself, and then I promise that we'll still get you out in time because the rest of the agenda promises to be quick. Any questions? I'm going to stop sharing so I can see your faces. Any appreciations?
I just want to appreciate the way you guys do instruction. I mean, that bullet point that said 72 or 75%, I believe they have, that they participate in their learning and the content. That's so amazing that every child feels like they actually have a voice in the content, how they learn that content. So I just want to appreciate you guys for that.
Thank you. Okay, no questions, and we'll move on. So with that, we're going to jump straight to consent items, consent items A through H. I'm going to ask for someone to make a motion to approve the consent items. Then I'll ask for a second, then questions and commentary before doing a roll call. So with that, can somebody make a motion to approve consent items A through H?
I motion to approve consent items A through H. Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Can I have a second?
Kennedy seconds.
Thank you, Kennedy. Any questions or discussion about consent items A through H? Okay, so we'll do roll call. Gretchen?
Aye.
Thank you, Denise?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Betsy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thank you. So now we're going to go to our action items. So this one is going to feel like a significant one. We are proposing pretty significant title changes for both myself and Danielle. And it's going to be in line with some additional information that you're going to see in the coming months. I'll be transparent with you. So at this time, both Danielle and I have long considered that our titles really poorly reflect what we do here, and that if we had the titles of superintendent and assistant and deputy superintendent, it would better reflect what we're doing. The title CEO and CAO, though common in the charter school sector, reflect something that's a little bit more profit-oriented than we feel aligned with our purpose and mission. We shifted from executive director and directors to those titles a couple years ago intentionally because we wanted to identify that Danielle and I would be the decision-making forces in both operations and academics. But right now, we're seeing a shift in the charter school movement and throughout to move to the superintendent and deputy superintendent titles. And I think it's aligned with our mission, and we would like to make that shift. I also want to give you a little bit of insight into something else that I'm thinking about that's going to probably make it to this board in some time. I've talked to a few of you about it, which is the possibility of shifting our name, changing our name from environmental charter schools to environmental public schools. And that's linked to the idea of being called superintendent and deputy superintendent. The reasons for that would be that right now, frequently when we're recruiting staff, they don't perceive that they're going to get to be part of the CalSTRS pension. Our parents don't necessarily know that we are a free public school. It requires a lot of education on our part, both in student recruitment and in staff recruitment, to help people understand what charters are. There's a lot of negative talk about charter schools. The one benefit of our current name is that we have an amazing reputation and that we are a strong advocate for charter schools because we are effective. But we think that the benefits of possibly changing to environmental public schools outweigh the benefit to the charter movement. So for those that reason, we're going to probably be coming to you with that in the months to come. But I did want to sort of give you that forecast and let you know why we're thinking about these titles. And with that, we'd like to seek someone to make a motion to approve.
Motion. Okay, I'll motion to approve. Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Can we have a second?
Kennedy seconds.
Thank you, Kennedy. And with that, the roll call, Gretchen?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Betsy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thank you so much. The last agenda item, I think, no? Yes. We have to approve the revised conflict of interest, and I'm going to hand off to Jeremiah for that.
Hi, everyone. So the conflict of interest code is included in the packet, and with the red line changes, But just to summarize, you know, every 2 years, every public organization has to revise their conflict of interest code to ensure that all possible conflicts of interest are disclosed annually through the Form 700. So what we're proposing here is to revise a couple of positions. First of all, to remove the Director of Strategic Initiatives, which is no longer a position that we have here. To add a position, which is the Director of Compliance and Operations. That's my title. I do a lot of contract review. And so we thought it's appropriate for me to be part of that decision-making, conflict of interest process. And then the final changes are to change the titles in accordance to the last action item that we had, the leadership title changes.
So with that, may I have a motion to approve?
I move to approve these changes.
Sorry, Betsy is making a motion. Thank you, Betsy. May I have a second?
I second, Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Gretchen?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Betsy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you. With just a few minutes over, I apologize for going long, but thank you all so much for bearing with us. I'm going to share that we have our upcoming board meeting on January 26th, and we look forward to seeing you all and voting in our new board members. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being interested in supporting us. And with that, if anybody wants to stay on to ask any questions or get any support, we're not going to stay on for additional appreciations because we already had some time for that. But I welcome anyone who wants to stay on to ask any questions. Otherwise, I hope everyone has a wonderful evening and thank you for your support.
Arnaz, do we need to?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I have a vote to adjourn the meeting? Thank you, Jeremiah. A vote to adjourn the meeting. Sorry, a motion?
I motion to adjourn the meeting, Denise.
Thank you, Denise. May I have a second?
Janina, I second the motion.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Betsy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. Have a good evening.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.